lessons from $4 million in online course sales, in online piano course sales at that. What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, a member of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money in your spare time, you are in the right place. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a Where Are They Now episode on deck for you with a story that dates back to 2017 on this show and even longer for today's guest. But it's a story about building a compelling and helpful digital product and continually refining it and refining how it gets sold to the tune of now over $4 million in lifetime sales. That product is an online piano course called Piano in 21 Days from pianoin21days.com. Jock Hopkins, welcome back to the show.
What's up, Nick? Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to come back. You've always been so generous to me way back then, and even now years and years later, coming back on, I couldn't be more excited about this.
Well, me as well. We should also mention Jock's other site, theonlinecourseguy.com. He's also the host of the Online Course Show, deep dive podcast on anything building, starting, marketing, growing online course businesses. But stick around in this one because we're going to dissect the latest iteration of Jock's marketing and sales funnel to see which elements that you could apply in your own business. We'll talk memberships versus courses. That was Jock's most recent appearance on the show. Which one of those might make the most sense for you? And if you had to start over today, the essential ingredients or building blocks for creating a new income stream with an online course. Now, if you're new to the show, welcome. It means the world to me that you would spend some time with this content. And I'm going to do my best to make good on the promise of helping you earn more money. And now, if you're the binging type, you should know that there are hundreds of actionable episodes in the archives to choose from. There's actually an elite club of listeners who've messaged me and they say, hey, I made it through the whole catalog. And I think that is awesome. But if you prefer a more curated approach, I totally get that. All you got to do is go to hustle.show, answer a few short multiple choice questions, and I'll build you a personalized playlist of the episodes I think are going to be most impactful and actionable for you. Again, that's hustle.show. But Jock, catch us up. It's been almost 300 episodes since our last, we'll call it official check-in, episode 302, when we talked about scaling to 30 grand a month while cutting back your hours, really ramping up the systemization of the piano business at that time. But what's been going on? I think that was 2018. So it's been several years since then.
Yeah, it's been some time. And I've now, since we're in another new year, it's been just about 11 years since I first started the business, which is just wild. I have a lot more gray hairs, definitely getting older, but the business is still going fine. It's running fine, with the only exception being, if I'm being completely honest, I've lost some of my passion for it. Now, don't get me wrong. I love hearing from people, the impact I'm able to provide to other people through my online course. People, I don't know them, but they paid me money through the internet to acquire the skill of learning piano. It's still out there. And thankfully, because of the hard work I have put in, I don't have to put in much hard work anymore and can focus on other things that I am more passionate about. So yeah, I mean, that was 2018. I had scaled it up to about 30K a month. I was probably spending $10,000 to $15,000 in expenses. A lot of that was advertising, a lot of Google ads and so on. So today, I've scaled back as many expenses as I can. No more ads. The team is extremely lean. So my expenses are almost nothing. And it brings in between 10 and 30K, depending on where we are in the year, every month without doing a whole lot.
Is there a seasonality to when people want to learn piano? Is it like New Year's resolutions? Like, this is something I'm going to do this year?
Yeah, it's very, very seasonal. Yes. And you hit the nail on the head. New Year's resolutions. Also, people getting keyboards for like Christmas presents. And then it's like, now I need to learn how to play this thing. And so December, January, February are always my best months. January, usually the best month, unless we have worldwide pandemics. And then for some reason, it kind of slowly goes down through the year, with August usually being the lowest point. I'm guessing just like kids going back to school, families are busy, not really looking at adding things to their plate. And then it'll ramp back up to December, January. So absolutely, there's seasonality to it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wouldn't necessarily think that out of the box, but I guess that makes sense. You mentioned the pandemic spike. Yeah, this is something that was fascinating to me. People getting their stimulus checks early on, 2020, and you were posting some huge numbers
man, it was, I didn't know how it was going to affect my business. I remember right when everything was happening, like, oh my goodness, like, what if this like tanks my business? What am I going to do for me and my family? This is the income stream. I wasn't really bringing anything in from my second business at the time. And fortunately, it didn't go down and it didn't stay the same. For my business, it skyrocketed because so many people were just home looking for things to do. And because of my niche, so many people have learning piano on their bucket list and they had some extra time on their hands and took advantage of that time with learning piano. And because I was already well established, a lot of people actually set up their online course business for the first time in 2020. That's another thing that people did was start online course business. So I had a lot of competitors enter the market in 2020. But at the time when the pandemic hit, I was already well established. I was already ranking on the first page of Google for terms like how to play piano and learn piano fast, and on YouTube as well. And so people were searching for these things at an unprecedented rate. And I was already there with an established working sales funnel and a course that had proven results and testimonials. For that time period, my record month was $145,000 in revenue.
Oh my God.
For 1 month from one course. We've obviously come back to earth since then, but that was amazing as far as my business goes.
That's crazy. And I mean, talking with a student of yours, Spencer Russell, how quickly you get accustomed to that being the new normal and like having to adjust back to reality. Say, well, that was a once in a lifetime thing, hopefully, and back to reality in terms of the numbers. So you mentioned like organic, hey, you learn piano fast, how to learn piano. Like these are kind of primary keywords on Google and YouTube. So let's talk through the organic funnel at this point. So somebody discovers your content for the first time, let's say they're coming in on a very high level, top of the funnel type of keyword, how to learn piano fast. They discover your site. And what happens after that?
There's one opt-in on the website. Every page will point you to that opt-in. And it's an ebook, a workbook called Learn 36 Popular Songs in 5 Days. That book I haven't updated in a few years. It offers a lot of value to people that are in my target market, beginners looking to get quick wins on the piano without sheet music and a lot of the traditional like music nerd stuff, like a lot of theory and whatnot. So they download that. And then there's about a 12-day evergreen funnel where they get a lot of value through emails, through video, and a limited time window to get a discount on the program. So you can go to my website and buy the course at full price. I have two tiers, one's $500, one's $1,000. But inside that limited time window of the funnel, you can get in for basically 20% off. And those two packages go to $400 and $800. And that funnel has been exactly the same for many years. One of the videos in there is me and my baby sitting on my lap, just super casual video, like less than a year old. Uh-huh. She's about 6.5 now.
Yeah, that's where you really notice the passage of time. It's like when you see your kids in these old videos or old photos, you're like, dang, that's weird because I haven't aged at all. What's going on here? Okay, that's helpful to know. So at one point, I thought it was like a video sneak preview of the course or like get the first lessons or lessons for free as part of the opt-in. But like now it's just kind of a ebook opt-in.
The ebook is the first 5 days of my course just in text and image form. So yeah, that's probably what you're thinking of is because it's the same content, just instead of videos, it's put in that format.
Okay. And the limited time discount is individualized to each person through, is it still deadline funnel?
Yeah, deadline funnel. And then what happens too is once somebody goes through that evergreen funnel, those first 12 days or so, there's about a 3 to 3.5% conversion rate on that initial funnel. And then if somebody does not buy or unsubscribe, they'll go through essentially the same funnel again every 100 days. That's how we have it set up all automatically. And the conversion rate on those relaunches is about 1%. So any given day, I could be getting sales from people inside the evergreen funnel or on those relaunches. I have people that will purchase that first opted in years ago, and they've been pitched to 20 times. And for whatever reason, now was the right time to take advantage of the offer.
Is it just an automation in your email service provider, or is it ActiveCampaign? That's a, you know, every 100 days, like restart this sequence, or is it literally the same emails over and over again? Or is it like tweaked slightly different subject lines or something?
I tweak it for the relaunch. So you go through the evergreen funnel and you don't buy or unsubscribe. And then when you get repitched everything again, there are some tweaks there, but every subsequent repitch after that will be that exact same repitch, right? So you hit it with ActiveCampaign. That's what I use. You know, my software stack so well. I basically have two main automations. One is my evergreen automation and another is my relaunch automation. And so somebody will just keep cycling through that relaunch automation until they buy or unsubscribe.
Okay. And are there any weekly newsletter cadence or the latest updates from the world of piano going out? It's like only the sales sequence.
No. There's things like that I probably could be doing that would marginally increase the business overall. But like I said, I'm not as into it these days and my focus is elsewhere. And this model that is in place is working to a pretty good extent. So I'm not really trying not to mess with it too much.
Yeah. What kind of stuff are you sending out over the course of those 12 warm-up days?
It's basically a product launch formula style funnel made famous by Jeff Walker. So what I do is I send out some pre-launch content that is these value videos. It's these maybe 20-minute videos every couple of days initially, just like kind of debunking myths and objections on the piano. And really the goal with any good funnel, in my opinion, is to get the other person to believe two really key things. The first one is you have to get them to believe, I can do this. I can do this thing, whatever it is. So in my case, I need them to believe that they can actually learn piano because not everybody opting into my funnel, maybe they're a little interested. Maybe they have this piano that's been sitting over there for years, but they don't necessarily have the confidence that they can actually do it. And maybe they failed before. So we have to get them to believe they can do it. And secondly, by the end of the funnel, we want them to believe that my program and me as their guide are the perfect way for them to be able to do it. So that's the goal in those pre-launch videos and the other emails that I send out. And then there's like a 5-day window where the new offer is available. And so I'll send out an email the day before it's available. Hey, here's what's coming tomorrow. And then one email every day during that 5-day window promoting this 20% off discount. And then a couple emails on the last day, just making sure people don't miss out on it.
More with Jacques in just a moment, including three ways to drive urgency and action for your own digital products and his take on the memberships versus courses debate. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. This edition of The Side Hustle Show is sponsored by Squarespace. You probably already know that Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, but it turns out Squarespace is a lot more than just a pretty website builder. For example, did you know that Squarespace has a new AI-guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint? I was playing around with this the other day. It's pretty slick and might be the fastest way to get a professionally curated layout tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Did you know that Squarespace can also host your online course? You can create the lessons that your audience is going to love, then you add your paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee, you can sell subscriptions, and you can customize the whole thing to fit your brand. And finally, flexible payment options. Whether you're selling a course or a digital product or a physical product or your own services, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers by letting you accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in eligible countries, you can even offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/sidehustle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay. Did you get anybody saying, oh, shoot, I missed it? And then do they go buy full price? Or does anybody just come to the website and say, oh, I guess this is the thing, $1,000, sign me up?
Every month we get a few sales just from the website at full price. That was a significant change that I made probably 3 years ago now. The most significant change I've made in the past few years was switching the urgency model from availability to a discount. So in the past, probably when I was the last episodes you were talking about back in 2018, you couldn't go to my website and buy. And the funnel looked very similar to the way it looks today, except it wasn't a discount I was promoting. I was just promoting the availability of the course. Hey, it's now available and then it's going away. And I feel so much better about the discount model because it's just so much more true. And it's so much more what we're used to in everyday life. People love discounts, right? I fought doing it that way for a long time, but the conversion rate actually went up when I went with the discount model. And it just feels so much better.
Yeah, I'd say, look, it's available. You can buy it now. But if you wait, or if you buy through this welcome sequence or this limited time welcome sequence, then you get this one-time discount. Or if you wait 3 months, it'll come up again. But until then, it won't be available to you. This is one of the things that has been a challenge for me. It's like, how do you drive urgency? How do you get somebody off the fence for something that is evergreen, that's always available? It sounds like this deadline funnel is one way to do that, a limited time discount on that.
Deadline funnel is the key to making it evergreen, having some sort of evergreen deadline that's not necessarily the same for everybody. But in terms of urgency, especially with online courses, there's three models you can choose from. There's three proven models. And I've hit two of them already. The availability is still one people use. Hey, it's available now and it's not going to be. A discount's going away. And the third option, it's probably not as good as the other two, but I have seen it be effective depending on how you implement it. But it's a bonus that could go away, a limited time bonus. So if it's a really compelling bonus, then that might be your best option. Or you can always do some combination of the three as well.
Gotcha. So we mentioned deadline funnel, huge piece of the tech stack, ActiveCampaign. What else is powering this thing on relative autopilot?
Kajabi. I've moved the whole business over to Kajabi. I've been through several different course platforms and whatnot. I used to be a big ClickFunnels proponent. They're really, really good at funnels, not great at much else. And what Kajabi does so well is it allows you to do so much in one place. Now, I haven't moved the emails over just because I love ActiveCampaign so much, but it does do the email piece as well.
Okay.
So for people, especially getting started with like an online course business, it's great because you can put your order forms there. You can put your whole website there. You can put your whole course there. You can put your emails there if you want. So other than deadline funnel and ActiveCampaign, mainly everything else at this point is in Kajabi.
Okay, that makes sense. Once somebody buys, do you like have office hours, like live Q&A? It's just 100% automated. Like you get access to this pre-recorded video course. Like that's what people are paying for.
That's what people are paying for. I do have a kind of a customer support person that replies to emails, and there is a comment section under every lesson. People do use that. So I have somebody on my team that will respond and help people out there. I used to do like a monthly live Q&A, like in Facebook Live. I kind of dropped it, and it hasn't seemed to really affect sales or member success. If it had, my plan was to hire somebody to do that instead of me. But no, it's mostly the pre-recorded content. Now, Nick, I'm on my sixth version of the course.
Yeah.
If it was still the first version of the course, somebody would need a lot more outside help. But because I've been doing this for so long and iterated so many times, I've plugged in the holes and I know what really works well for somebody. And it's not like I'm teaching a piece of tech software or something, right? How to play the piano doesn't change much. I don't have to update it that much. The sixth version, it's been in place for several years now, and I feel really good about it. But if it weren't as good or I hadn't iterated so many times, there probably would be other outside support somebody might need.
Right. I forget who I was talking to, but somebody had like a Pinterest course or something. And it was like, the algorithm changes are constant. The interface changes are constant. It's like just setting yourself up for like having to refresh this thing every 3 months or every 6 months. So I think they transitioned to a membership model instead. We're like, look, we're going to stay on top of this stuff. And we want you, if you want to stay on top of it too, like just come join our weekly calls. But for something as evergreen as learning piano, like, hey, we got this figured out. One thing that I did want to mention is those price tiers are, maybe my memory is misserving me, but like significantly higher than what I remember. I thought you had like a $200 thing and maybe like the top tier was maybe $500. So even though we're doing this limited time discount, it's like, well, I don't want a discount that hurts my brand, that eats into my margin, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, overall, the net income is still higher. The bottom line price is still higher. Is that, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to beat around the bush on the pricing question here.
No, I'm glad you brought that up and I'm really impressed that you remember that. So I certainly explained that my pricing tier, probably the last time we talked about it, I had three options. And it was essentially $100, $300, $500. The $100 tier was an ebook of the full course. There was no videos with the $100 version. What I noticed is that people were not successful with that bottom level package. Very, very few success stories coming from that. I didn't feel like I was serving people very well for including that any further. So I dropped that out. And what I did was with the other two tiers, when I changed my urgency model from availability to the discount, I didn't want to make less money per sale. So I increased the price. I increased the everyday price. So I took that $300 and $500 tier and I jumped it up to $500 and $1,000. At the same time, I implemented the discount so that even with the discount, I was making more per sale. And I tested it, knowing I could always go back if I needed to. And as it turned out, that model worked better. In terms of overall revenue at the time, it actually worked 1.5 times better in terms of not individual course sales, but in terms of money that I was making.
Okay, so slightly lower conversion rate, slightly fewer enrollments, but the price delta made up for the difference. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you kick around transitioning to payment plan, membership options? So 2021, episode 463, we had a fun debate with Jacques and Shane Sams from Flipped Lifestyle. Shane is 100% on the membership bandwagon. Everybody needs a membership. Let me evangelize for this business model. We had this fun debate episode and Jacques was arguing the online course side and pros and cons to each, different models for different businesses. But I felt like you were kind of scratching your chin a little bit. I'm like, oh, what is the right way to implement some of what Shane is saying? Do you play around with any of that post that call?
I have not tried it specifically, but I'll tell you what I've learned, Nick. That was a really cool experience getting to talk to Shane in that context. And before that conversation, I was always very anti-membership, especially for my business. My argument was like, if I'm able to get $800 and buy, you know, my most popular package is the higher end one. So most of my sales are at $800. So my thought was, I probably can't charge more than $100 a month at the most, maybe more like 50. And so let's say I go high end and charge $100 a month. Well, then somebody would need to stick around for at least 8 months to just break even. So in my head, it's like, there's no way that makes sense. But one thing that Shane told me that made me question it for the first time on that episode was, yeah, Jacques, that's true. But what if, say, 10 times more people convert because of this different model? And that's a way to think about it I hadn't before. So memberships are more on my radar since that conversation. But the way I look at it today is with memberships versus courses, it's kind of like, are we paying for a specific dream outcome or are we paying for something that we need ongoing support for? And with Piano in 21 Days, the specific dream outcome is very specific. It's always been built right into the brand name. People are paying to learn piano in 21 days. So why would they need to come to me month after month, possibly indefinitely, to learn piano in 21 days?
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. But yeah, it's totally like a mismatch to the branding.
Right. I love memberships. Memberships are great. I basically have one in my other business where people do need just like ongoing support. And I think that's the big difference between a membership and a course.
Okay. And you are doing some payment tier because even an $800 price point, like that's a lot to bite off for somebody.
Oh yeah. Payment plans. I offer 12-month payment plans, $79 a month for 12 months, or you can pay one time. So it's a little more expensive in the long run to go with the payment plan. About half the people go with the payment plan. So that's something I do offer.
Yeah. And that is cash flow upfront versus like some level of recurring cash flow for the next several months. I don't know. Probably six of one, half dozen of the other.
It feels like having another income stream.
Yeah. So you're like, I made a sale today and I can get paid out on it for some time. Yeah. That's an interesting point that Shane is like, well, what if it 10x's your conversion rate? Even if the lifetime value of that customer shrinks a little bit, like if they don't stick around for the full 8 months, but what happens if you double or triple the number of people signing up for it? But I agree with the branding mismatch that doesn't make sense in this case. But let's say that somebody's listening to this, they either have an online course or they would like to start one in 2024. Like, what do you see? Obviously, the landscape has changed a bunch over the last 10, 11 years of doing this. Like, what do you see working today or the essential building blocks, ingredients for somebody starting a course business today?
It's changed quite a bit in some areas and other areas, it hasn't so much. And so the way I like to look at it is let's focus in on the key areas or components that you need to have in place for this whole thing to be successful. One thing I talk about on my podcast a lot is I want to help you set up a course business, not just a course, because a course on its own doesn't make money. A course business is what makes money. And that's where people go wrong the most, is they get this idea for an online course. And so the first thing they do is they make an online course, but they don't have all the other necessary ingredients to actually make money from the course. I mean, it makes sense intuitively, because if you have an idea, like you teach guitar, and so you want to make a guitar course, like that's the thing you would be best at. You don't necessarily have any sort of background in sales or marketing, so you focus on that area where you're like actually teaching guitar. But we need to have all the components in place. And the components that I would suggest you have in place, and I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as much what order you do them in, as long as you have all of the components. But you got to have the product, the course. You have to put an offer together. So that includes how much you're going to charge for it, what bonuses, if any, you're going to include with it. If you're going to have any sort of urgency, you got to put together an offer. You have to have some sort of sales funnel. Unless you're selling like a really inexpensive course, like less than $50, then you want to have some sort of sales funnel. And I mentioned earlier the two goals with a sales funnel, and that's why we need it. It's because we've got to convince somebody that they can do the thing and that you're the perfect person and your program is the perfect way for them to accomplish that thing. So whether it's a funnel like mine, product launch formula, evergreen webinar funnels are still working fine. Challenge funnels are becoming more popular, but all of them have the same goal and are essential if you're selling above $100. And ideally, you're selling for more than $300 or $500. And then we also need, probably the area people struggle with the most is traffic. You got to have an audience. You can have all those pieces in place, but if you don't have traffic, if you don't have an audience, then it doesn't matter at all. That's hard, because most people don't succeed with ads. They end up wasting money. So you turn to content marketing, podcast, YouTube, short form content like TikTok or Instagram Reels, and you've got to put high quality content out there consistently. It is the best way to build an audience. And a lot of people don't want to do it in the long term.
More with Jock in just a minute. We're talking audience building, what's working today, short form versus long form. And of course, his number one tip for Side Hustle Nation this year, right after this. You might be familiar with The Hustle. It's a daily email newsletter that breaks down the top business and tech news in an entertaining way. I've been a subscriber myself for years. But what you might not know is that those same writers now have a daily podcast. It's called The Hustle Daily Show, and it's on the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business builders. Every day, they're breaking down the biggest business headlines and trends that you should know about in about 10 minutes or less, and why you should care about them. And then they also do these deep dives on topics like how billionaires are investing in immortality, super interesting stuff, and the guy who's won the lottery 14 times. I also enjoyed learning about Chipotle's burrito robot army and why Shohei Ohtani decided to defer 97% of his massive $700 million contract with the Dodgers. So go find The Hustle Daily Show in your favorite podcast app and give it a listen. Big thanks to HubSpot and The Hustle Daily Show for sponsoring this episode. That's the challenging part of it. It's like, well, you know, product first, audience first. It's like, well, you could go product first, but if you don't have anybody to sell it to, then you're still kind of up a creek. You got to figure out, you could try the ads thing. You could try, probably the shortcut method would be some sort of affiliate partnerships with other people who are kind of shoulder in your space to say, I'm going to come on, I'm going to deliver this thing either as a podcast guest, as a joint venture webinar. Like, how can I shortcut the audience building by tapping into other people's audience? But you do have to figure out that piece of the equation. And that was Spencer Russell. Like, hey, I went big on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube shorts, like on the toddlers can read side. Like, hey, this is really interesting content, and into his sales funnel there. We've had run into other people like in the personal finance space. Jeremy Schneider is a personal finance club on Instagram, huge Instagram following, and a low ticket course. I think it's like $100 or $79 for like, I'll teach you index fund investing. This is the proven way to build long-term wealth, blah, blah, blah. And there is no sales funnel that at least I can see from the outside looking in. It's just like, hey, it's available now. I think it's always available, but it's like, you know, maybe there's a limited time sale a couple times a year. And it's just because of the rapport that he's built over consistent content over years on these platforms, or on Instagram in particular. It's like, yeah, I trust this guy. He knows what he's talking about. I'll go buy the thing when I'm ready to get serious.
Yeah, I think that this traffic piece is the area that has changed the most over the years. I think the concepts for the funnel and the offer and even the course itself, that part has remained pretty, like, with the pretty tried and true ways to do those. But the traffic piece, like 5 years ago, I would have said, oh, you got to be on YouTube. For course creators, you got to be on YouTube because the same type of person that's searching for solutions on YouTube, which is a video-based platform, are going to be wanting to buy a video-based solution and maybe an online course. But over the past couple of years, I've seen so many course creators succeeding with building a following on the short form platforms. You mentioned Spencer Russell as an example. He's over 1 million followers now on TikTok and separately on Instagram, teaching toddlers how to read. It's not a money-making opportunity, and he's absolutely crushing it. I have somebody in my coaching program right now. She just started 2 months ago. She's a photographer. And I'm like, look, the first step is not to build the course. That's what everybody wants to do. You got to build the audience. So she creates Instagram and she niches down to helping parents. This is actually weirdly similar to Spencer because she helps the parents do something for their kid. But she helps parents learn how to photograph their baby, like 1 year and under, newborn to 1 year old, how to photograph your baby yourself so you don't have to hire a photographer to do that. So she starts Instagram. She starts putting content out there. And the first few, like, nobody sees them. But one day, about a month ago, she was like, Jacques, I'm going viral right now. And I remember Spencer would tell me that back in the day. Jacques, I'm going viral right now. She hit one that got over 1 million views, showing parents how to photograph their kids. And now she's got over 27,000 followers on Instagram. And my favorite part is, like, she hasn't made the course yet, but so many people are commenting under a video like, where can I buy your course? Like, when's the course going to be available? I'm ready to learn from your course. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a key piece.
That's kind of crazy. One of the different entry point sequences you mentioned was a challenge funnel. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about how you've seen those working.
I think that's like a newer one in the game. I think I noticed our mutual friend, Abby Ashley, is starting to use that. I would love to learn more about how that's working for her. In fact, I just had a guy on my podcast last week who that's all he talked about was these challenge funnels. And one of the guys on my team has been talking to me for a couple of years, like, Jacques, we got to do a challenge funnel for Piano in 21 Days because it's perfect. You got the 5-day challenge built right in. Like, your opt-in is already a 5-day thing. So I myself don't have a lot of experience with it, but I'm seeing people on the outside start to have more and more success with a challenge funnel. But at the end of the day, it's just another mechanism to try to get your potential customer to believe those two key things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen Rob and Melissa from Flea Market Flipper do something like this, like their Flip It for Christmas challenge. Like, hey, we're going to make an extra $250-$500 for Christmas this month by buying low and selling high. And imagine that funnels into their full course and the whole freight shipping thing, and like find high margin, low volume items. Like, I don't want to be going to the post office every day, but if I could send out a couple items a month and make some good money, I think that's kind of their model. That makes sense. And less automated, less evergreen, because you got to show up and lead the challenge for that quarter, like, but trying to get people off the sidelines. Anything else you see working for people on the audience building side of things these days?
No, like I said, that's the big shift that I've seen, is that can work really well. In fact, now that's like, it depends on your niche, I guess, but for the most part, that's my main recommendation, would be just, hey, start on Instagram and crank out a reel. If you can do one a day, amazing, because your first 10 are going to be so bad, and then your next 10 are going to be a little better, and then your next 10 might be a little better than that. But I was talking to Kate, the example I mentioned the other day, I was like, do you think that was necessary to do with those first 30 before you hit the viral one? And she's like, to be honest with you, I still don't understand why that one went viral. Her argument was like, I needed to make a lot because I didn't know which one was going to do really, really well. So it's easier. It's easier to make a 30-second short form video than on YouTube now, because you got to do so good with your thumbnail and your title. It's just, I still love YouTube, but it's a lot more challenging than it used to be.
Are you doing anything short form, or is anybody on your team playing in that space?
Yeah, we are for the Online Course Guy brand. We are all in on Instagram. We do repurpose the short form videos we make to TikTok and YouTube Shorts, but we're primarily focused on Instagram, and it's been going really well. We get a lot of DMs, a lot of comments, a lot of likes. I see the success from the people I work with or coming on my podcast, and I'm like, oh, I want to experience that. That sounds really cool.
Do you have an example of one or two that have hit over there? Like, what were those videos about?
For myself?
Yeah, for the Online Course Guy brand.
So look, the key with Instagram, and you know, the Spencer was really the one that made me want to try it, because he's blowing up a couple years ago. And so when I first decided to try it, I made a couple of videos and I sent it to him before I posted them. And he said, Jacques, I watched the first 5 seconds of both of your videos and I didn't watch the rest. And you need to redo it because I wasn't hooked in. You have no more than 5 seconds to grab attention because people are going to swipe and move on to the next video. So your first 3 to 5 seconds have to be super compelling or it's just not even worth making. And so I went back to the drawing board, and one that did really well is I've got several books behind me on my display here. One of the most impactful books for my life has been The 4-Hour Work Week, just showing me what was possible in the online business space. My hook was something like, let me show you why reading The 4-Hour Work Week actually makes me want to work way more than 80 hours a week. The meat of the video was about, it allowed me to find my true passion, which now is talking about online business and online courses, and actually want to do that stuff. Whereas when I worked an actual job, like I was ready to get out of there as quickly as I could. So that was kind of my hook, and it resonated with people. It did really well.
I remember we had Nicole Whitworth on the show, and she has a kind of like study group or tutoring group for nursing students, and kind of maybe non-traditional nursing students, like people who are getting into it later in their lives or later into their careers. And she said the same thing for TikTok. Like, it was all about that hook. And so some of her best performing videos were debunking this study myth, or you're trying to memorize this thing, like throw that out the window, right? And so people who are kind of in that space, and that's what they're getting shown in their feed anyways, they're like, wait, have I been doing it wrong the whole time? Right. So they're hooked in, they're compelled to keep on watching and learn more from Nicole.
I think ultimately a combination of short form content and longer form content is really the place to strive to be, because you can get results so much faster on the short form content, but they're more fleeting. If you stop posting on, say, TikTok, it's not as evergreen. Like, people aren't going to find that.
Yeah, it dries up.
Months. Yeah, it dries up. Whereas I have a video on YouTube I made 5 years ago that still makes me tons of sales every month because people are still finding that video and getting value from that video. And so a combination can work really well, but start with one and then add the other later.
That was Robert Farrington's advice. Like, you got to have your home base. And in his case, it's got to be the website, thecollegeinvestor.com in his case. And then when you're just starting out, like, pick one. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's LinkedIn. Maybe it's Twitter. Right? Just like, get good at one and then start to layer on complexity and different marketing channels. And for the most part, you could probably repurpose stuff. Like, you don't have to keep completely reinvent that, but make it native to each of those platforms as you're doing it. So that was something that I remember from our most recent catch up with him. But I'm totally with you on the short form versus long form. Like, if I'm going to be creating content, I want to create something that is evergreen, that can help people and can drive traffic and revenue and email subscribers for years. Because that's the same thing. The power of having a blog post that sticks to the first page of Google for months or years at a time, that's where I want to be investing my time. And so I've struggled on the short form side of things, where my sweet spot is that 2,000 word blog post or that 45 minute podcast episode where it's like, oh, how to tell a compelling story in 45 seconds. Like, it's still a work in progress on that front for sure. Those were the key ingredients: the product, the offer, including the bonuses, a sense of urgency, the sales funnel. That could be an evergreen webinar. It could be an email sequence. It could be a challenge funnel, something to convince people of those two things. Yes, you can do this. And yes, we are the best people to help you do that thing. And then the hard part is that traffic or audience building side of things. Like, how do you get people's attention in a noisy world? Now, you're 10 years into it, almost 11 years into the piano in 21 days. Is it something that you see yourself doing for another 10 years? Like, I get the question about Side Hustle Nation because we turned 10 last year. It's like, do you do another 600 episodes of this stuff? Like, do you do this until you're 50? Where does it go from here?
I was never a piano teacher. So it was never like, it was the, after reading the 4-Hour Work Week, my senior year of college, it was like the seventh different thing I tried to make work. It just, there was a lot of luck involved, I'll be honest. And it just happened to be that I had this way of learning and playing piano that allowed people to learn quickly without sheet music, without music theory, that resonated with other people. And it was based on my frustrations on the piano. So people resonated with my story as well. And it just kind of worked out. The impact I was able to have on other people was amazing. It still is amazing. But my point in saying that is I was never like super passionate about piano, like a lot of people are. So I'm so fortunate and blessed that it is a thing and helps people even to this day. And I don't take that for granted. But I struggle to get back into it because of my lack of passion for that actual thing. But in creating it, I found my passion for talking about online business and helping people with online business. So I kind of put Piano in 21 Days aside maybe 18 months ago, always thinking that I would come back to it and jump back in full force like I have so many times. But I just, at this point, I don't know that I'm going to do that. And so I could hire somebody to ramp it up a little bit, maybe create more content. I can just let it coast like it's doing now, or I could possibly sell it, which is an option as well. I know a lot of people that have had success selling online course businesses. So that's on the table as well. But for my future, I love just like talking about this stuff, going on podcasts like yours, doing my podcast and helping people with online course businesses. And that could change in the future. Maybe one day I'll start a cooking brand and focus on that. But for now, this is what I love to do.
There you go. Get some of that Louisiana cuisine going on your next online business. One thing that stood out was Russell Brunson talks about one funnel away. And the thing that you mentioned is like, hey, I was never super passionate about piano, but this whole business was born out of your frustration in traditional piano lessons and kind of unlocking that frustration. Like, hey, look, if it was a frustration for me, it's probably a frustration for other people. One frustration away is a new way to think about your online business. Because like, that's what people are paying money to solve. Like, make this pain go away. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. So tell me, what's going on in the online course guy world? I know you got the podcast going on over there. You teased that there's a membership angle, helping people start and grow their online course businesses.
It's a coaching program that I run. So I do the podcast, the online course show. By the way, just like taking your thing and throwing show on the end, that's brilliant. I guess subconsciously, I probably got that from you, Nick. Side hustle show. So I've got the online
course. It's all about that keyword in iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the online course show, been doing that for 7 years now. That was born out of a want to connect with other course creators. I felt very isolated and lonely with what I was doing. And it's just been awesome to get to hear from other people in all kinds of niches. And then that eventually turned into a coaching program that I've been doing the past couple of years. So that's really where I spend most of my time, is with the podcast, that brand, and then working with people inside of my coaching program. It is, you know, I don't like calling it a membership because it's a little higher priced, like higher touch. I know everybody in there really, really well. We work together very, very closely. I have two separate programs. One's called Genesis. It's more for beginners to do things from the beginning. And then I have my next level coaching program for established course creators looking to scale.
Very cool. We'll link those up. We'll check that out. TheOnlineCourseGuy.com. You can find Jacques over there. And of course, make sure to tune into the online course show. Deep dive stuff if you ever want to geek out on this specific business model. Hundreds of episodes to choose from. Really good stuff. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation 2024 edition.
So it's just going to be to create content. We've hit on that plenty, but that is the area in all of this that people struggle with the most, whether it's procrastination and just like, or fear of being out there. People don't even get started, or they do get started and they put some things out there. They're not getting traction, so they stop. The most important thing I think somebody could be doing in 2024, really, no matter what kind of business they're running, is to create valuable content, start to build that trust, start going down that path that turns into a funnel where we're like, we're getting people to believe they can do a thing and that we're the way they can do it. That's where it starts, is with the content creation side. Whatever your aspirations are, you can't go wrong with creating content.
Yeah, it's so low risk. If it sucks, nobody's going to see it. I remember Dickie Bush talking about that on his Twitter building days when he was going like 0 to 50,000 followers in his first year there. Like, if I post something, it's like the ultimate idea proving ground. I could post something and if it doesn't get any reaction in the first few minutes, basically, like it's dead in the water and like the algorithm is going to bury it. In that way, it's really low risk to test this stuff out. And a few other creators kind of have their law of 100, like create 100 pieces of content. You're not going to know if it works. You're not going to know if you like doing it, if you're any good at it, until you really get in those reps. And I feel the same way about the first 100 episodes of the Side Hustle Show. It's like, it's just getting in the reps and getting comfortable behind the mic and trying to figure this whole podcasting thing out. 100 blog posts, 100 Instagram posts, whatever your channel of choice is, but putting in those reps, learning what resonates and what works to build that audience in case you come up with that compelling offer down the road. So we're going to take a trip down memory lane. Do you have any memory of what the 2018, 2017 number one tips were?
I have no idea. No idea.
All right. I'm going to take it back to 2017 first. The number one tip was have a compelling hook. And I think at that time, or maybe the tagline today is half the cost of piano lessons and ridiculously more effective, right? Piano in 21 days, this is the compelling hook. You're going to learn faster, better, cheaper. And I think that really works well. So think about what that compelling hook is for your offer. Maybe I'm still working on that, like earn job-free income, make extra money outside of your day job. I think that's something that has resonated with a lot of people over the years. 2018 was to think about the customer transformation. And I still think this one is super, super important for like, how is the customer going to look, feel, think, be different after they go through your product or service versus before, right? What is that customer transformation? Because yeah, they're buying to make pain go away, but they're also buying that transformation. So all of those excellent tips. Anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, I probably should have looked at those before this to make sure that I didn't overlap or repeat here. I'm glad it worked out, Nick. That's great.
Absolutely. Just a couple final notes for me that I was taking notes on here. Number one was the goal of the sales funnel is to instill these two key beliefs. I never heard this phrase this way before. Number one, convincing the person that they can do it. Yes, it is maybe challenging, but with the right tools and support in place, you can do this. It's not impossible. And secondly, I'm the one to help you do that, right? This program is the one to help you do that. I think that's really important. I want to highlight that one frustration away idea for coming up with your potentially your next decade of business ideas, right? Like this has been an income stream, $4 million in sales, one frustration away. And then the kind of the key ingredients to think about in either an online course business or really any type of business, traffic plus conversion, right? How are we going to get eyeballs to this thing? What are we going to sell, right? Traffic and conversion. What's the product? What's the offer? And how are we going to get people's attention? Well, if you're not sure what to listen to next and you want some more Jacques in your life, you can start with episodes 223. That was the 2017 first appearance. 302, that was scaling the piano business to 30 grand a month and scaling back the hours required to run it. And then 463 was the memberships versus courses debate episode, the side hustle showdown episode that we did with Shane Sams on that one. And just to help you get a better sense of the evolution of this business over the last several years, in this case, 10 years or 11 years overall. But beyond that, I want to invite you to create your own custom side hustle show playlist. How it works is you go over to hustle.show, answer a few short multiple choice questions, and the machine will spit you out a personalized playlist based on your answers that I think are going to be most relevant and impactful for you based on those answers. Again, that's hustle.show. More than 6,000 listeners have already claimed theirs, and I hope you'll be next. Big thanks to Jacques for sharing his insight once again. Thanks for supporting the advertisers that support the show. As always, you can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. That's it for me. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So fire off a text message. Hey, this electrical engineer quit his job to teach piano on the internet. You got to check it out. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.